Hello, this is Reverend William R. McBride, pastor at Eagle United Methodist Church. Thanks for listening to today's recording. I truly believe that as you put into practice the message that I'm about to share with you, you'll find it very helpful for your spiritual growth. So I invite you to visit us this coming Sunday at Eagle Church. We worship every Sunday at 8:30 a.m. Our church is located just 2 blocks east of downtown Eagle, Wisconsin on Main Street. Our address is 305 East Main Street. Give us a visit this coming Sunday, 8:30 a.m., 305 East Main Street in Eagle, Wisconsin. And now, here is today's message with Reverend William R. McBride. Our scripture reading today is from Luke's Gospel. We read from chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. As Jesus made his way to Jerusalem, he went along the border between Samaria and Galilee. He was going into a village when he was met by 10 men suffering from a dreaded skin disease. They stood at a distance and shouted, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." Jesus saw them and said to them, "Go and let the priests examine you." On the way, they were made clean. When one of them saw that he was healed, he came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself to the ground at Jesus' feet and thanked him. The man was a Samaritan. Jesus spoke up. "There were 10 who were healed. Where are the other 9? Why is this foreigner the only one who came back to give thanks to God?" And Jesus said to him, "Get up and go. Your faith has made you well." Please bow with me for a word of prayer. Gracious and loving God, we ask that you would increase our understanding of your word and the teachings from Scripture. That indeed, as we consider this theme of gratitude, that you might help us this week to be people who look for and find the many ways that we can be like the one who came back and express our thanks to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. A rather interesting survey was conducted by a national news program. Perhaps you heard of this survey. 50 people who had lived longer than 100 years were surveyed. They were chosen because they were still leading active, happy, purpose-filled lives. The researchers specifically looked for similarities. They wanted to find some common threads for why these people had lived so long and they were still active, happy, and just really having full lives. So they looked for similarities in diet, exercise, lifestyle, and habits. All of the common things. They wanted to find out what contributed to their longevity and their quality of life. Well, in the end, what they found was amazing. Through an extensive interviewing process, the news team found that some of the participants in this study had what would be considered good diets. An equal number of people were not as healthy in their food choices, so diet seemed to be out for the common thread. Exercise and other areas of lifestyle were also not found to be a common thread throughout the group. The researchers dug a little farther, asked some more questions. 2 things were overwhelmingly consistent among over 90% of those who were studied. And what were these consistent traits? Well, they fall right into our thinking today. 9 out of 10 said that throughout their entire lives, they awoke every morning with an attitude of gratitude for one more day of life, and that they saw each day as a precious gift. Secondly, 9 out of 10 stated that they felt life was too short to hold grudges or to spend time complaining, and they forgave people quickly and they refused to dwell on negative thoughts. Two things were the common threads for 9 out of 10 of these people that were studied. They woke up each day and had an attitude of gratitude. They looked for things for which they were thankful. And the second thing was, is they refused to dwell on negative thoughts. Therefore, they expressed their gratitude. They didn't hold grudges. They forgave people quickly, and they weren't complainers. And that really, in the sum and substance of what Jesus was illustrating in the story today in Luke, Jesus Christ spoke volumes about this kind of attitude. I call it the attitude of gratitude. He knew how crucial a mind and heart of thankfulness was toward a person's health, well-being, outlook on life, and even future success. We know what needs to be done. Scripture is clear. Now thank we all our God, the hymn says. We know that we need to be grateful and thankful, but the question is, are we going to do it? As our theme sentence tells us today, underneath the sermon title, when was the last time you were thankful and told God about it? Look around you. There are things everywhere to express your gratitude over. We can rightly conclude that everything depends on us. That's really, it all depends on us. It really, you know, we can lay it out on the circumstances and the situations and what comes our way, whether it's good or bad, or we can, you know, we can say, well, I'm the victim, you know, and these bad things have come to me. But really, Christ is talking to us about, and we see the researchers have found that it really depends on what's going on inside of us, and I talk about that a lot. Everything depends on us. Your attitude of gratitude is the source of your life, your joy, your meaning, and your purpose. Let's take a look at our story today. It really fits the theme, and that's why I chose it for us. One day, a long, long time ago, 10 people came up to Jesus Christ with a desperate need for his help. They each had a similar issue that they believed only he could solve. The story says, Christ was going from Samaria to Galilee, and 10 men came to him, and our version says they had a dreaded skin disease. The other versions say, rightly so, they had leprosy. Leprosy isn't a problem in our time and in our age, but in Christ's time, it was terrible. You were ostracized, you were kicked out, you no longer were a person. You were sent away to basically die. So these men had a problem, and they were afraid to come up close to Christ. So they called to him from a distance. Lord, Master, have mercy on us. Have pity on us. Help us. We've got a problem. That was their issue. They asked for mercy, and the good news is that Jesus Christ gave them the help they wanted and needed. Now, the important key from this story is not so much the healing miracle per se. I mean, that's important, but that's not where we're going today and where Christ goes. The important thing is how the one leper responded after he was healed. Did you notice the 10 were going on their way? They were clean. They were healed. They could go back and become a person in their life in the first place. But one of them looked down and noticed that he was changed. He was healed. And that one person, noticing what Christ had done for him, he immediately turned around and he went back to Jesus Christ and he put himself at Christ's feet. And as the scripture says, he started to thank Jesus Christ. He knew who the one was that had been with him, and so he went back. A natural response was gratitude. He went back and he talked about and gave God thanks. This is a story about the essential attitude of thankfulness from all of God's people, no matter what the situation. I want to read again verses 14 and 15. Here's what the scripture says. They went their way, and while still on their way, they all became clean. One of them, when he realized that he was healed, turned around and he came back shouting his gratitude, glorifying God. He kneeled at Jesus' feet. He was so grateful. He couldn't thank Jesus enough. Jesus responded to this one who was grateful. Then he said to him, get up. Get on your way. Your faith has healed and saved you. A couple of points here that are important about what happens to us when we are people like that one who return to God, or Christ, who go to God and we express thankfulness for our lives. Number one, Gratitude is the proper response to God when we recognize all of the good things that God brings our way. It is the proper, the appropriate, the important, and the life-changing response to God when we recognize all of the good things that are a part of our lives and that come to us. We don't give ourselves the credit, we give God the credit. And we are thankful to God and we express it. That's point number one. Point number two is, gratitude is a sure sign of our faith. Remember what Jesus said to that leper that was healed? He says, go, your faith has made you well. Gratitude is an expression of our faith, of what we believe and what we know to be true. And we remember, as we have talked about all through August and September, remember how important faith is to our life. It's important now, and it's also important to our eternal life. As we say, and I return to James chapter 2, faith without works is dead. One of the outworkings of faith is to be a person who is grateful, who expresses it to God, and who shows it in their life. There's a rather interesting story told by a man by the name of Phil Traband. A story from nature about, in a sense, a lesson about thankfulness. Phil Traband was hiking through a clearing of tall grass near an Oklahoma woods when he heard a sound like a crying baby. Turning around, he was startled to see a wildcat coming toward him slowly. Knowing that wildcats are usually mean, he was scared. Yet something about this large cat made him stand still. As this large cat came closer to him, he noticed that its mouth and its muzzle were swollen shut. Traband squatted, and he took the large animal's head in his hands. Very gently, he pried open the swollen mouth. He noticed immediately that the tongue of that cat had been pierced by a sharp tooth, and it was held fast. The wound was infected. Carefully, though he knew it hurt terribly, he loosened the swollen tongue, ready to run if that cat turned on him. The wildcat never moved. When he had finished, it stood there, now with its tongue free, looking at him. Cautiously, Phil Traband stroked its fur, and he received what seemed to be a grateful meow in return. Then that wildcat turned and disappeared into the woods. Phil Traband said this. He said, if wild creatures can show their gratitude, why do we forget to praise God for our blessings? And you know, that's the question we each must answer. Do we foster gratitude in our lives? And I mean, we look for gratitude no matter what the situation. Even when things are difficult and terrible. We shared some very, very, very deep and difficult things in our service today. Requests for prayer for others. It would seem on the outset that there is only something to complain about and to feel terrible about. But can we even find something in difficult situations that we can be thankful for? I think we can. And that's a challenge for us, is to foster gratitude in our lives. Do we get up each day and look for the things for which we can give thanks? They're there. Do we notice that the one man who went back to Jesus Christ with an attitude of gratitude, he got something for that. What did he get? He got closer, much closer than the other nine who went their way without coming back to say thanks. He got much closer to the sure source of his help and his aid. He was at the feet of the Lord of the universe, of Jesus Christ, the one who had brought healing to them. And he received a personal touch and a personal word from God through Christ. Why? Because he was grateful. You see, our attitude of gratitude will always end up with an ever-growing closeness and intimacy with God. And that is, in and of itself, the most important thing about being thankful. It draws us nearer to God, the source of all good things, all power, all strength, all healing. That one man went back, and because of that, he personally got in touch with Jesus Christ. Thomas Edison as you know, is one of my favorite men of history. I share a lot of stories about him, and I've shared this story, but it's worth repeating. It's a story about Edison finding gratitude even in terrible times. In 1914, Thomas Edison's laboratory caught on fire. When he realized how big the blaze was, Edison sent word to his family and his friends, and he says, "Get down here quick. You may never see again anything like this." Edison lost $2 million in equipment. And this was in 1914. That's a vast sum even today. He lost $2 million in equipment and the record of all of his life's work. Walking through the rubble with his son Charles, he said this, "Son, there's a great value in disaster. All our mistakes are burned up. I am thankful to God that we can start anew." You know, Scripture says it so well. Edison was giving testimony. Be thankful in all circumstances. We don't have to be thankful for circumstances, for difficulties, for illness, for injury, for terror, for trouble. We don't have to say, "I'm so glad the mother of my children is dying. I'm so glad she's got cancer." We don't have to say that. You don't have to say that in any of your situations. But even in the midst of difficult situations, we can find reasons to be thankful. "I am so thankful that she knows where she's going when she dies. I am so thankful that my children have faith and they believe and they can celebrate her life." All our mistakes also get burned up when we're thankful people. It's like we can start anew each day. How many of us would be able to respond with gratitude after such a loss that Edison faced in his life? He lost everything. Giving thanks to God, Edison started anew. He started over again. And you realize this, is that many, many of his greatest inventions came after his laboratory burned down. So there are many times in life when things happen to us. Things come at us. Things challenge us, and even things come our way that threaten us. We do not have absolute control over the unknowns, nor do we have absolute control over other people. Other people are free to think and act on our own. Other people are free out there to be nice to us or to threaten us, to help us or to harm us. We don't have control over anything out there. We might like to think we are, and we might say, "Well, I'll be happy and thankful when I control everything and everything goes my way." Well, guess what? We'll never be thankful or happy. We cannot control everything in the world because none of us woke up this morning and had our name changed to God. So what we do is we have to find ways to be thankful even in the midst of trials and troubles and difficulties. But like Thomas Edison in our story, we each have total control over our attitude and if we will or will not express gratitude and thankfulness. In verse 17 of our Bible lesson, Jesus was perplexed that only one of nine persons came back to say thanks. You know, that's a challenge for us. Do we come back to God and give our thanks? Or do we just go our merry way? We don't recognize God's presence in our lives, or we don't count our blessings, and we leave our Lord perplexed. Because we go through our lives with no thought or action connecting ourselves to God. All 10 men were healed, and all 10 had the opportunity to come back and say thank you. We each have many, many opportunities every day to act with gratitude toward God. Remember in the opening story, the survey of those individuals that had lived well past 100, how did they start their days? They got up. And they started to look for things for which they could say thank you. They looked for things, even in difficulties, for which they could be grateful. There are really two steps to our attitude of gratitude. And here's where I'd like you to take out your insert page, if you would, please. And if you look at the side with the bullet points, page one, the attitude of gratitude. You don't have to do this now. But I just want to lift this up to you as a way to take the message home with you, as an opportunity for you to be grateful in your life, to choose that. Two steps to our attitude of gratitude. Number one, we must identify those things for which we can give thanks. Look for the good. and discover the great things God is bringing your way. I call that, first of all, think thankfully. And there's three open bullet points there on your sheet. I would challenge you before you go to bed tonight or right away when you get up tomorrow morning, write three things. I am thankful for the following things. Put that down and then just look at it a couple times a day. I am thankful. These are the things that I am thankful for today. That's the first step, is to think about it. But it doesn't end there. Just like faith is more than just a thought. Number two, we then speak to our Creator. How do we do that? We do it in worship through prayer. We do it by acts of giving and sharing in order to show our gratitude. I call that act gratefully. Point number one, think thankfully. Point number two, act gratefully. And there are three bullet points there. I would challenge you, after you have got three things that you can be thankful for, then put three things. I will do the following to show God, to show others, to show the world that I am grateful. That's really what it is. It's a two-step process. You think about it, and then you act on it and do it. Here's an interesting thought about thankfulness, and this was written by Charles Dickens many, many years ago. He said, each year in America, the President of the United States proclaims the fourth Thursday in November as Thanksgiving Day. The citizens of this nation are called upon by the President to thank God for his divine protection and leadership for the past year and to look forward to what God will do in the coming year. We celebrate Thanksgiving each November to show our gratitude for the many blessings that God has bestowed upon our nation. Dickens went on and he said, you know, in Colossians 2, 6 and 7, we read, so then Jesus, as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught and overflowing with thankfulness. God has been so faithful and loving to us, therefore our lives truly ought to be overflowing with gratitude. Charles Dickens then went on and he said, you know, we are somewhat mixed up here in America. Responding to the thoughts about Thanksgiving Day. He told an audience that instead of having one Thanksgiving Day each year, we should have 364 Thanksgiving Days each year. And then use just one day of the year for complaining and griping. Make that complaining day and griping day. Use the other 364 days to thank God each day for the many blessings that God has showered upon us. As Dickens suggested, we should not wait for our special holiday to express our gratitude to God. Instead, Thanksgiving should be a part of our daily lives. Our personal appreciation for God's blessing, not on one calendar day. That shouldn't be what drives our prayers of thanksgiving. One's attitude in life often affects how one views his or her circumstances. An attitude of thanksgiving demonstrates a person's gratitude to God for life, for health, for family and friends, for the church, for the prospect of the powerful God intervening and being with them and strengthening them even in difficult situations. Philippians 4, 6 says that. It reminds believers to be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. The God of this universe has given us unspeakable blessings. And for our entire lives, we ought to give thanksgiving and honor back to God for all of the gifts. So the question is that I leave you with is, when was the last time you were thankful and you told God about it? And how are you going to show your gratitude to God and to others this week? Look around you. There are things everywhere to express your gratitude over. All around us. It is all up to us and how we see the world and how we see our circumstances, how we see life out there. And then to be God's people who live and express an attitude of gratitude. Amen. Thank you for listening to today's message. I believe God will guide and lead you as you put into practice in your daily life the lessons that I have shared with you. I invite you to attend our services this coming Sunday at Eagle Church. Once again, we are located in Eagle, Wisconsin, just two blocks east of downtown at 305 East Main Street. Our worship time is 8:30 a.m. If you found this message to be helpful for your Christian life and spiritual walk with God, then please share it with a family member or a friend. Thanks again for listening. Have a great day. God bless you always, and be a blessing to others. Take care.